Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, a theme that we have seen all the way through Hebrews, and we will finish our series on Hebrews next Sunday. A theme that we have seen all the way through Hebrews is this idea of holding on to faith. There have been a number of themes, and the main one is that Jesus is greater. But because Jesus is greater, the preacher in Hebrews wants us to hold on to our faith in Jesus and to keep on keeping on. And we're going to spend some time this week and next week in Hebrews chapter 12. And one of the things we're going to see there is that in Hebrews chapter 12, as well as other places in the New Testament, the Christian life is described and related to being in a race. We are in a race. But this race is not a 50-yard dash. This race is a marathon. It's a race for the long haul, and we've got to be able to keep on keeping on as we run this race of faith. And so this week and next week, as we finish looking at Hebrews, I just want to give you some marathon motivators, some things to keep you in the race and to keep you going strong. And the Bible has some good things to say to us in Hebrews 12 this week. So thank you for being here. Let's continue to worship. Well, that's one of my favorite songs that we sing. And it is a song that could be a theme for the book of Hebrews. We have come this far by faith. And we can't turn back. Amen. So with that in mind, let's read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. This verse assumes the reality that for Christ it was a hard road. And it assumes the reality that if we follow Christ, then we are also following on a hard road. And not only is it a hard road, it's a long road. It's a road that lasts our entire life, however long that is for each of us. The race that we are in, the walk that we are in, the journey that we are on is a long and a hard race. And you get that from reading it in English. You would even get it more if you could read Greek. Because the word for race here in Hebrews chapter 12 is the word agone. And in that word, you can hear where we get the word agony. And so the writer of Hebrews, the preacher of Hebrews, is saying the agony that we run when he says the race that we run. It's a long race, and it's a hard race, and his sermon, one of the reasons he preaches the sermon is so that the hearers of the sermon then and the hearers of the sermon now would endure and would finish strong. And so since we are in a marathon, not a 50-yard dash, but a marathon, we need some encouragement along the way, and that's what I want to give you this week and next week. And the first encouragement that we see from the passage is this: focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, it has said in Hebrews. Set your eyes on Jesus.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. And the word literally means to take in everything that you see and then to turn away from everything else and focus. That's what the word means when it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of things in our view. There's a lot of things that we can see. There's a lot of things that demand our attention. There's a lot of things that are flashy and bright and capture our attention. And we have to intentionally look away from everything else and decide where we are going to focus our attention. And the writer in Hebrews says, if you want to finish the race strong, then you need to intentionally look away from everything else and focus your eyes on Jesus. Because whatever you focus on is what you're going to become good at. Whatever you focus on is how you're going to spend your time and your energy and your money and your life. That's just the reality of it. Whatever you focus on. If you focus on being successful, I mean, that's what we teach our kids, right? If you can focus on being successful, you're going to be successful. You're definitely going to be more successful if you didn't focus on it. If you focus on making money, you're probably going to make more money. If you focus on sports, you're going to become a better athlete. If you focus on your friends, you're going to have more friends. I mean, that's just life. And so the writer knows that. And he says there's a lot of things you could focus on. There's a lot of things that want you to focus on them. But you have to look away from everything else and fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than everything. There's nothing that's greater than Jesus. And so fix your eyes on Him. Nothing that competes for your attention in this life is greater than Jesus. So look away from everything else. I love the image of Moses that we have when Moses went up on the mountain. He went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and he was there for 40 days. And during that 40 days, he was in the presence of God. And during that 40 days, God gave him his words and wrote them down. And when Moses came down from the mountain, Moses was glowing. Moses reflected the glory of God because Moses had been focused on God and nothing else for 40 days. Now, we don't get the opportunity to be called up by God on the mountain for 40 days and see Him and hear Him like Moses did. But everything in the New Testament teaches me that if we could focus on Jesus, if we could push away the other distractions, if we could intentionally look away from everything else, how much more would we reflect the glory of Jesus? And how much more does our community need men and women who are reflecting the glory of Jesus? How much more do our families need fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and grandparents who are reflecting the glory of Jesus? So focus on Jesus as a motivator to continue running this marathon. But to do that, you got to do the next thing that we see in the passage. And that is, you got to strip down. Now, don't go and do it right now. That's the word it uses. You got to strip down. Let us strip off. Okay, as I was thinking about this, in our city, we don't have a marathon for runners, but we have a marathon for bike riders, right? And so we got a lot of folks who gear up every year to ride in that race and make it for 100 miles. How ridiculous would it be? Now, see, I'm seeing Chuck or I'm seeing Jeff. I know those two guys ride. There are others of you who ride. How ridiculous would it be if we came up here and we saw them getting ready for the race and they had on a parka and they had on blue jeans and they had on big old heavy boots as they were getting ready to ride that bike race? Now, for those of you who remember long enough back, Jack Whiteley actually did kind of dress that way for the race. But that's beyond neither here nor there. But what do these bike riders wear? It's embarrassing what they wear, isn't it? I mean, it's tight. It's form-fitting. It's not much of it. Because why? Because they're stripping off everything that would hinder them from finishing the race. Now, swimmers even go further than that, and they shave all the hair off their body. I mean, how have you ever seen a hairy swimmer? I mean, they take that seriously. They strip off everything that would hinder them from running the race, that from finishing what they set out to do. And that is exactly what the preacher in Hebrews is looking out and saying to every one of you, is you are in this race, and it's a long race. And you are in it to finish it and to reach the goal. And in order to do that, you got to fix your eyes on the goal. And the goal is Jesus. And in order to do that, you got to strip down and get rid of every other thing that is holding you back and weighing you down. And there's not a one of us who haven't collected things as we have gone along in this journey. And Bob Goff has this phrase that he uses, this principle that he teaches. If you don't know who Bob Goff is, you need to go look him up because he's fantastic. And he says that every Thursday, you need to give something up. Every single Thursday, you just need to give something away or give something up, because we just accumulate things and we attach things and we carry things along and they just begin to weigh us down. And so every Thursday, you just need to give something up. But the writer goes on, and it's not just the things we accumulate. It's not just the other things that get our attention and that collect to us. But he's even more specific, and he says it's also the sin. The sin that trips you up. The sin that just wraps around you and gets you tangled up and makes you fall down. And you're not going to finish the race. Now, Bob Goff said, get rid of something every Thursday. But there was a Christian mentor at a college who told the men and women under his charge, or who would ask them, what sin are you killing off today? What sin are you killing off today? Because as we go through life, we collect sins as well. We pick them up. We carry them along. Not only do they weigh us down, they trip us up. So brothers and sisters, what sin are you killing off today that's going to motivate you and help you to run this race and finish strong? And then the third thing is that you need to run with a crowd. He talks about this great cloud of witnesses. And what he's doing is referencing back in Hebrews chapter 11, as he's talked about men and women from the past who held on to faith and finished strong. And he says, we've got this great cloud of witnesses. And folks, in our own congregation, as I was preparing this week, I was thinking about the men and women who are in our great cloud of witnesses. And I just chose not to even use any names because there's just too many, and I would begin to leave them out. And every one of you have important people that you can remember from our past who are in the great cloud of witnesses. And I'm thankful for that. Men and women who modeled for us what it is to run the race their entire life and to be faithful and to keep on keeping on. And we need them. We need them from the Bible, and we need them from our own past. But we also need some folks who are alive and well, who are here in the flesh and blood, who we are running the race with. We need a crowd to run with. And if you're a mama or a daddy, you've told your kids before that who you hang around, it matters, and who you hang around is important. And we even talked about that from a scientific point of view in our guardrail series. But the crowd you run with is really, really important. I'm thankful for our college group here who has a good crowd to run with. Thankful for our youth group who has a good crowd to run with. As adults, we need a good crowd to run with. It's the folks who run alone who are most likely to not finish the race, who get tripped up, and who don't have anybody to pick them up, who start to slow down or wear down, and who don't have anybody to encourage them. Our bike riding friends, I mean, they practice in packs. And they ride and they prepare and they train. And then in the race, they do it together. And there are multiple reasons that they do that together. And we need a crowd to run with. There's an African proverb that says, to run fast, run by yourself. But to run far, run with people. And we're not in a fast race. We're in a far race. We need to run with people. People who are going in the same direction we're going. People who will pick us up. People who will encourage us. People who, for a while, we can run in their wake and pick up some of their tailwind. And then we'll trade places and we can be the strong one for a while. We need people. That's one of the reasons I'm so thankful for our faith communities. I'm thankful for our elders leading our faith communities. I'm thankful for everything that is involved. You need a faith community in this race. Amen. And I encourage you, if you haven't been participating, just decide today you're going to stay after we worship together and be in a faith community. Because they're not just about Bible study. They meet during what we used to call Bible class time. They're not just about Bible study. That's critically important. They're also about praying for each other, supporting each other, caring for each other. They're about working together and doing projects together that bless our church and help other people. I've seen our faith communities at work recently in the lives of some of our folks who are struggling right now. I've seen those faith communities just surround people. Say, come on, keep running. You got this. We're going to carry you part of the way. You need a crowd to run with. I'm thankful for our D groups. I'm thankful for those folks who are in D groups. As mine wrapped up last week, one of the guys said, boy, we get deep in here, don't we? And we do, because people need a place where they can share the burdens that are on their heart, the stuff that's weighing them down. They even confess the stuff that's tangling them up. So I'm thankful for faith communities and D groups and any other way that you have that you can connect with a group of people, because you need a crowd to run this race with. And the last thing for today that I want to say to you as a motivator for you to keep on keeping on is this. As you run this race, as you're in this for the long haul, I want you to know that you can count on God from start to finish. You can count on God from start to finish. Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That word perfects can equally be translated completes. Jesus who initiates our faith and Jesus who completes our faith. Jesus from start to finish. And folks, that is the God that we serve. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the first and He is the last. He is the God who got things started. With words from His mouth, everything that is was created. He is the God who got things started, and He is the God who will finish it. He is the God who started your faith. He is the one who draws you to His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is the God who will end your faith. when it is fully consummated. And there's no more reason for faith because we are in His presence. He is the God who loves us first. And He is the God who will love us in the end. You can count on God from start to finish. And it's a long race, but it's not too long for Him. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump for Him. And you're going to have starts and stops along the way. He's going to be consistent. You're going to have stretches that are better than others, and you're going to have stretches that are worse than others. And He's going to keep on running with you. Philippians chapter 1 says, I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. You can count on God from start to finish. And the finish is Jesus. And there is a day coming when He is going to come back again. And what a great day that will be. And on that day, we will see Him. We will see Jesus face to face. We will see Him as He is in all of His glory. And on that day, we will become like Him. And when that race is through, and when we have finished that race, and when we receive the crown of glory for finishing, for enduring, for keeping on, we come this far, we didn't turn back, we go by faith, when we get to that day, all of our limps are going to be gone. And all of our hang-ups are going to be gone. And all of our weaknesses are going to be gone. And all of our faults are going to be gone. And all of our failures are going to be gone. And all of our insecurities are going to be gone. And if I could think of more words, I'd say more words. Because they're all going to be gone. Because we are going to be like Him. It's been the goal from the beginning. It's what God is doing in you. He is making you like Jesus. He is bringing you to perfection. He is bringing you to completion. He is bringing you to maturity. He is working in you. Do not give up, brothers and sisters. Finish this marathon. You can count on God from start to finish.
Amen.
We're going to be like Him. Dear friends, we're already God's children. We can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when He comes, we will be like Him. And we will see Him like He is. So keep on keeping on. Don't you dare give up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep running your race. Take it seriously enough to strip down. You got a crowd that's running with you. And you can count on God.